Yes. Says Torah Hashem Tamima Meshivas Nafesh. The Torah of Hashem is complete, it's perfect, it restores the soul. Eidos Hashem Ne'emana, the testimony of Hashem, the Torah, is trustworthy. Machkimas Pesi, it makes fools wise. Pikudei Hashem Yisharim Misam Chelev, the laws of Hashem, the mitzvos, are straight and they bring simcha to the heart. Mitzvos Hashem Bara Me'iras Deinayim, the mitzvos of Hashem are clear, they bring light to the eyes. I think we've all seen that and experienced that on ourselves and on each other, and the yeshiva on a whole, this week. What a hundred and hundreds of shmuzes could do to a yeshiva can't come close to what one word of Torah could do to a yeshiva. And if you just stuff a group of bachrim with Torah, then you see that slowly they start to grow. It's like when you plant a seed, and you water it, and sun hits it, then it's going to grow, it's going to blossom. So when you start to stuff Torah into people, then it itself, the Torah bears forth from within each person a simcha and a chachma and a desire and a yearning to grow and to be pure and to be more clean and to be nicer and to be drawn more after good and to want to stay more away from bad. And I think that when we saw that en masse and we saw that on each and every person over here. I heard once one of the Gedolim said that the power of a shmooze or any shear that somebody hears, the reason why sometimes it has an effect on a person's heart isn't necessarily because of the one speaking or what they presented, but it's the Torah that they quote within their shmooze. The fact that they're quoting psukim or they're quoting gemaras, the Torah that's within that shmooze is what's curing the people as it goes within them. And you all saw yourself that you take a medicine of 3,000 right now, 500 daven of Gemara, that it can completely flip around an entire society of people. Before we started this incentive, I sat with Yitz Kamenetsky. We're trying to figure out how many daf could we expect everybody to learn. And I don't think that we misevaluated when we said 3,000. I think that when we sat down and we came up with the number 3,000, it made a lot of sense. I don't think we made a mistake in that we undershot at the time. But we didn't factor in at the time, and what we couldn't factor in at the time, is what Chazal tell us in many different places, and that is that as a person learns Torah and as a person works and grows, all of a sudden HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens up gates that were closed before that you couldn't even see could exist. A person suddenly, things that were within their potential range, all of a sudden become part of their potential. That when you look at a person as they are, you're seeing them naturally without putting Torah within them, without them exerting themselves to infuse themselves with holiness. This is what their potential is. But as they learn Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu enters within them, so the sky's the limit. There's no end. And therefore, the potential of the guys in the yeshiva completely changed slowly throughout the week, where they started going way beyond what the 3,000 mark was already 2 days earlier than what we expected. Chazal say about the Yetzirah that lulei HaKadosh Baruch Hu ozro lo yachalo, that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't save and help a person, we have no chance against the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah is stronger than every single person. When you feel like, I can't do this, this is impossible, I can't drop blank, I'm never going to stop blank, you're correct in the perspective that you're looking at, that it is too hard for you to be able to do. The Yetzirah is stronger than us. And lulei HaKadosh Baruch Hu ozro, had HaKadosh Baruch Hu not come, wouldn't be coming and doing a miracle for us, then we really can't beat the Yetzirah. But the way this world works is that when a person puts an effort and they show HaKadosh Baruch Hu what they want and what they're willing to invest in, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and does a miracle and makes them able to beat the Yetzirah. You just knock him away. And therefore, what looked like you beyond your potential suddenly becomes foreseeable, suddenly becomes possible to each person. That's true in each person's personal struggle, and definitely yeshiva on a whole. The last of the Nevi'im was Malachi, I think. And in Sefer Malachi, in the last parak, he makes references to the time of the coming of the Mashiach. And there's a pasuk at the end of Malachi describing the time of the coming of the Mashiach, where it says, "V'shavtem u'ra'item," you'll be able to stand back and look and see. Bein tzaddik l'rasha, you'll see in a person who's a tzaddik and who's a rasha. Bein oved elokim la'asher lo avado. between one who served Hashem, who was an Eved Hashem, and one who wasn't. So the Gemara asks, this pasuk sounds redundant. You already said, you'll see the difference between a tzaddik and a rasha. Why do you need to add somebody who was Oved Hashem and wasn't Oved Hashem? And the Gemara answers, what's an Oved Hashem, what's an Eino Oved Hashem? They're both talking about tzaddikim, but one is somebody that chazered a Gemara or chazered their Torah 100 times, and one is somebody that chazered it 101 times. That you can't compare somebody who learned something 100 times to somebody who learned something 101 times. The Chafetz Chaim in one place says, he compares it to, you know, when you're carrying something very valuable in your pocket. So you keep on checking to see that it's there, or you always keep your hand on your pocket to feel that it's still there, that you didn't lose it, that you have your passport, or you have that big wad of a lot of money that you have to deliver to somebody. You keep on checking because it's very valuable, you don't want to lose it, and you're afraid for it. When somebody keeps on chazering, already from 100 to 101 times, they know it already. They could say it all by heart. Why are they still chazering? Can we ask you a question already? Tens of times ago, you could have answered it. Why are they still chazering? Because they love it so much, because it's so valuable to them. They're so neurotically afraid to lose it. They can't stop chazering. They can't stop. They love it so much. They want to spend some more time with it. And therefore, you can't compare somebody who learned something 100 times to 101 times because it's an expression of how much more love and concern they have for the Torah that they're learning. But the Chafetz Chaim and another Sefer points out, what does it mean? It says, v'shaftim or eat them. You can be able to see on a person whether they chazered something 100 times or if they chazered something 101 times. And he quotes Tana Debe Eliyahu, where Eliyahu Navi says that when Mashiach comes, or at some stage in Olam Haba, Talmid HaChamim, each one will be giving forth a different light from their face. Some of them will be as bright as the sun in the midday. Some of them like the sun as it's coming up in the morning. Some of them like a moon. Some of them like a moon in the beginning of the month, in the middle of the month, a third of the month. And what the Chafetz Chaim explains it with this pasuk, that you're going to be able to see on a person exactly how many times they learned something and how much effort they put into it. You just look at them and see the difference between 100 times and 101 times in their shine, in the way they look when Mashiach comes. That's the clarity of the difference between a little bit more and a little bit less. This chart is misleading a little bit because it kind of gives us the feeling that it's all in numbers and in boxes and in a number of dapim that a person did. Because we don't know how to measure things the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu measures it. Lefum tzar agra, according to the pain, is the reward. In a few places, the Sfarim talk about that if somebody quickly runs right through a mesechta without having to put much effort into it, so he's going to be much less of a Talmud Chacham and Shemayim, the guy that toiled and toiled and struggled, maybe over one daf, and never really properly understood it and butchered it left and right. But that guy, because he put in more effort in Shemayim, he'll be a much more bigger Talmud Chacham than the one that put in a lot less effort. Because what you learn, how smart you are, that just gets its way to your brain. The way something makes its way to a person's brain disintegrates in the kever. What doesn't disintegrate is the neshama, and for something to make its way to the neshama, that's with the amount of effort that a person puts into that. We can't measure that on a chart, and we can't say, this is what I'm, you know, doing for Caleb, this amount of effort, or that, or this is what I'm doing for Kadosh Baruch Hu. That we can't make a chart out of, but in Shemayim, that's how things are looked at. There's something that a simple idea that you all know, but I think it's important to express really at this point. If you were to ask a 1.5-year-old or a 2-year-old, give him a choice. You give him a handful, 1 or 2 jelly beans in one hand, or $100 bill in the other hand, or a check that says in it $1 billion in the other hand. He's going to pick the jelly bean. Because he doesn't understand, he doesn't know what the other thing is. He doesn't understand what money is. He doesn't understand what a check is and what the numbers are. He can't read it. He doesn't understand what he's looking at over here. And he's going to make the wrong choice. And if you would watch a person throughout life still choosing the jelly bean when he's 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, you start to think, he needs help. So this is a very sad situation. If you were to see an old man, you know, a 75, 80-year-old man, you know, playing a video game and cracking up and laughing, having the time of his life watching a game, I think all of us would look at that and feel like, that's sad. That's sad. That's a sad situation. The way we look at a baby choosing the jelly beans over the money, and the way that we look at an old man getting all excited over you know, whatever that game that he's playing is the way that we'll look at ourselves in Shemayim, and we look at things in a in the proper and true perspective. We look back at what we did in this world. Whenever we involved in ourselves in things that were of no value meaning no eternal value, nothing that you take with you. So it's going to look like that decision that we see the baby making the wrong one, the old man making the wrong one. That's how we're going to look at all the wrong decisions that we made, and the right decisions that we made, we'll celebrate and be so happy with those. There's a Gemara in Kiddushin that says, Schar mitzvah b'hai amaleka. And I'm sure you've heard the Rebbeim speak about this again, but I want to build up on something here. The reward for a mitzvah in this world doesn't exist. It's not possible. There's nothing that this world has to offer. Nothing good enough, no matter how valuable, no matter how pleasurable, no matter how long that pleasure could last in a lifetime, that would be enough to repay somebody for even the smallest of mitzvos within this world. There's a pasuk in Tehillim that says, "Lucha Hashem," this is in Perek Samach Beis. "Lucha Hashem Chesed, ki ata tashalem liish kama'aseyu." Hashem, you're doing Chesed when you, because you pay each person according to what they've done. What does that mean? Hashem pays everybody according to what they've done, and we're calling that a Chesed. Why is it a Chesed when you pay somebody according to what they've done? The way schar in Shemayim works is not the way when you pay for something and then you get something in return that's that value. It's not like that in the next world. A mitzvah that you do, you don't get reimbursed for. Schar in the next world is not a reimbursement. It's a door, another door to eternity that continues to repay you for the mitzvah way, 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 way past whatever you've put in towards that mitzvah. And therefore, when Hashem pays you according to what you've done, it's still an unbelievable chesed, because he's not giving to you what you deserve according to what you've done. He's giving to you an eternity for each mitzvah that you do. Chazal say in Sanhedrin that you give a handful to an ani, and Hashem will, for that mitzvah that you gave a handful to a poor person, Hashem gives you his handful in the next world. And the Gemara right away, a handful from Hashem, how could a person contain that? A handful from Hashem, what's a handful from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that has no limitations? And the Gemara says, yeah, Hashem will do a miracle and make us be able to contain the reward for that handful that we gave to the poor person. For one mitzvah, just giving one tzedakah to a poor person, you get handed HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand back in return, and a miracle will be needed to be done in the next world to be able to contain the schar for that one thing, and that's eternally. And that's just for that mitzvah. We know about Talmud Torah, that Talmud Torah is keneged kulam. Learning Torah is equivalent to all the 613 mitzvos. Just for, and the Gra, the famous Gra, that for sure, hopefully by now you've heard, and if not, we'll say it now and you'll keep remembering this. The Gra says in the Mishnah that about Torah, ain lo shir, Torah doesn't have, there's no end to how much you could and should learn. And also the smallest amount of Torah, even one word, is already the mitzvah of Talmud Torah that's keneged kulam. One word of learning Torah is already like 613 mitzvos, that any one of those 613 mitzvos, there's nothing this world has that can give you to for schar for one of them. And in the next world, the miracle will have to be done for you to get an eternal reward for just one 613th of the schar for one word of somebody's learning Torah. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos says that somebody's mekayim a mitzvah, he creates a malach for himself that defends on his behalf in Shemayim and protects him wherever he goes. That's for any mitzvah that you do. And the Marsha says that when Chazal say habala taher misayin biyado, when somebody comes to purify himself, he steps forward and he takes steps towards wanting to be better. So Chazal say misayin biyado, they help him. What's they help him? Hashem helps him. What's they help him? So an army of malachim come, the mitzvahs that he did, those malachim come, and they help him continue on the path that he started. So that's true about any mitzvah. But imagine by the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, where every single word of Talmud Torah is connected 613 mitzvahs. The Chafetz Chaim says that a person speaks 200 words in a minute. So if you're learning and you're getting 200 mitzvahs per minute, that each one is worth 613, imagine how many malachim you're creating. There's a pasuk in Mishlei that I can't find right now. Here. In Perek Yotes, Hon Yosef Reim. a wealth will add to you many, many friends. And the Gra says in the Pshat of that pasuk in Mishlei that a wealth of Torah will bring to you many, many friends. What is that referring to? Malachim and Shemayim. You'll have myriads and myriads of Malachim and Shemayim that Hashem sends to help watch you, guide you, and in the next world, follow you, surround you, whatever that happens in the next world, from learning Torah. And you can understand why Talmud Torah is Keneged Kulam, because what could produce that many Malachim more than Torah could? I was thinking that that's the pshat. Maybe that could be pshat. Somebody must say this. When it says, Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefanav, when Yaakov sent Malachim, Rakashi says, Malachim Mamish, he sent real literal Malachim to Esav, and then right away Yaakov says to Esav, Im Lavan Garti, and Rashi says, what's in Lavan Garti? V'tarig Mitzvot Shamarti, I kept the Tarig Mitzvot. Yaakov is explaining, where did I get all these Malachim from? Where did all these, how are you able to send me Malachim? Because I kept the Tarig Mitzvot in the house of Lavan, and that's why I have all these Malachim, and that just threw Esav aside. There was no more battle to be fought anymore. Yaakov stresses to Esav that he lived in Lavan's house and he still kept the Tarig Mitzvos. That when you're living in an environment around you of where the pull is so against that, it gives so much more valuable to every one of your Tarig Mitzvos. And the fact that you all came together and were able to learn what you've learned this past week in the environment and the world that we live in today and what people your age are doing nowadays, and instead to transform that into who can count, who can make a calculation of the billions of malachim that were created through the learning that you've done, that now walk before you and surround you and hopefully will carry this yeshiva up to higher levels. So it's an unbelievable schus that the yeshiva has, and something that no one could ever take away from you what you've done, even if from now on, God forbid, somebody wouldn't continue. The reward for what you've done is waiting for you and will be there eternally. And it's something that a person has to celebrate and be besimcha over. We can't properly understand what happened over here. And Shemayim will be blown away when we see every one of you what was done. But that's why I'm hoping that in the next hour and a half that we have left, that we could try to squeeze out as many more couple hundred daf that we could. I think it's doable to get to 4,000. If we have here 100, which I think we have more people, so if everybody learns 5 daf, some people can't do 5 daf, so others will do more than 5 daf, but it should be doable to get to 4,000. Even if we don't, it doesn't take away from what's been done this entire week, what's been done, what will be done tonight. There's a Rav coming, Rav Yaakov Ades, at 12 o'clock tonight, and it's not for no reason that we decided to bring him. Your tefillos are more powerful now because a person that has Torah behind them and that use their mouth for Torah learning, their mouth now is more powerful in their effect. And when they ask for things, it has a more powerful effect at that point, right? That's why specifically it's appropriate that we should all get together as a yeshiva after completing whatever we end up completing at 12 o'clock and daven very strongly for our friend. And we wanted to bring in a gadol who is known to have very powerful tefillos. Like Rabbi Shemula was pointing out to me that every day he goes with a group of mekubalim and he goes to parallel to the Kodesh Kodashim through the Kotel tunnels and he's crying over the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. This is like us and him is like thousands of years apart. When he walks in here, you might be a little bit awkward from this. I've never seen anyone like this. I never heard a davening like this before. But let's focus on trying to, with him together davening with us and with the power of our Torah that's behind us, to really let out a strong cry to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to answer our tefillos. And then we fought the way that a Jewish person fights. And that's another big thing that I think hopefully we all learned how a Jew lives. So let's try to produce as much as we could in the next hour and a half. Sure.